The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Joseph Cockle. How are you doing, Joey?
Good evening. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm really good. Currently, good. We're not joined by our good friend, Martin Owen, but maybe. No. Maybe. Don't know. Find out. But let's get straight into it, Joe, because everyone's dead excited, because I'm sure most people are listening to this as they are driving to the tracks in the UK.
Those words.
Yeah. I think we should speak to somebody who was already...
I was going to say, tonight's guest has already been back on track, as it were.
Exactly, mate. So that narrows it down. So I think it's a good idea if we go and speak to my good friend, Darren Windsor. Hi, Darren, are you there?
Hello, I am. I haven't just been on track. I've been on track for the past 3 days.
Mate, terrible.
Which is a bit excessive.
What's your name? Jamie Clancy?
Well, he was also there for the past 3 days.
I'm not surprised.
I think he's going to be there till Sunday.
The meme of from South Park of Stan's dad, Randy, when he's at the computer and he's just covered in white sauce.
Yeah.
That's how I imagined Clancy was after his first day back at home, after he'd been to the track.
Yeah, although he spends too much time talking to people rather than being on track.
Standard.
That's Jamie.
Well,
it was really good. It was exciting to get back.
So, for anyone who doesn't know you, we are talking about Hearts. Is it just Hearts Club? What do we call it?
So, it's always been called Hearts Nitro Model Club. And that's still kind of always what the 10th club's gone under. But it's a bit more inclusive now. We've got the 10th track. We've got a Bash/Extreme track. Not quite sure what it's even called. And then we've got the Crawler track. So we've got 4 tracks. And I tried to call the Hearts Club, the electric side of the club, Hearts 1/10 Electric.
Right, okay. Is that working? Are people calling it that?
Well, it's on. We've got our own logo, which looks the same, but it's got his name underneath. That makes me happy.
Okay.
And then we've got the Hearts RC Models shop on site as well.
Okay, so there can't be many of those in the country. You know, a shop with tracks covering all the bases. You're quite lucky. Do you live close?
50 minutes away, yeah. I'm dead in the middle of Stotfold and Hearts.
Right. So, the joke is that's clearly the middle of nowhere. I've been to Stotfold once. There is nothing there.
Stotfold's in the middle of nowhere. Stevenage is quite a, not a very nice place, but it's there's a lot around.
Bruh, Stevenage is,
Yeah, no, let's
not go there. Stephen is just trash.
Joey, you live in the middle of nowhere as well, so anywhere with streetlights scares Joey. Therefore,
I also grew up in that area.
I thought you were Welsh.
No, I grew up in a small village called Shefford.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shefford.
For Darren's purposes, he knows it's between Bedford and Letchworth. That's in the middle of those two.
So is Stotfold always your local club as a young
Stotfold
person?
Was always my local club. It was 15, 20 minutes at that.
Yeah.
And then Hearts was about half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. Depending on how Stevenage was on that day.
Now you moan that Hearts is too far to come. Except you're always asking me when the meetings are running, but I never seem to see you turn up.
Now, to be fair, the country was shut last year, so I weren't really doing a lot.
Fair point.
Well,
fair fine.
Okay, Joe. Okay. So I know when someone says Hearts to me, I immediately think of the sort of the Nitro track. Was that there first? Was there always a 10th club and always a 10th track there?
No, there wasn't always. It was a Nitro club, which I think was originated from Sandy, maybe.
I might get that wrong. Doesn't it have something to do with the old Sandy track?
Yeah, I think some of the committee from that. But the 10th club was originated, I don't know when, maybe a couple of years after the Nitro Club. And that was put together by Mark Jones, Carl Jackson, and Ian Edwards.
Right, okay.
And then Ian Edwards and Carl mainly run the club before I eventually took it over.
Right, okay. So when did you start helping out or taking over the 110th, the 10th section at Hearts?
Probably around 14 years old, I started helping out. And then I think from about 16, I was running meetings by myself, organising it mainly by myself with the help of Carl Jackson still. I wouldn't let him escape as much as he wanted to. I think he took over Team TLR at the time for the UK, so he had other priorities. So I started running the meetings, still had his help now and then, until last year, when Harrison Joyce and Paul Burt took the 10th club over. I'm still involved, still helping out, but I'm not responsible for running meetings anymore, and all the bad things and the criticism goes to them, so that's good.
I'm sure there was no bad things or criticism.
You were effectively the youngest club owner / thingy in the country.
Yeah, you could say that, maybe.
I can't think of anyone that's a similar. Why did you want to do it that? Was there nobody else?
Simple answer, probably not. I lived near Carl and, I seemed to, every time I was at racing, Carl always seemed to be there. So it started off that whenever he went down to do work parties, I'm sure you probably know this, and anyone who's listening knows that getting people together for a work party at track is not easy. And it tends to be often two or three people that do the running. Do the maintenance on a track. And every time Carl seemed to go to track, I'd tell him to pick me up because I couldn't drive at that age, obviously. And I'd go down and help him. And then eventually, he took over some other things. So I ended up taking it over. But it is hard work, it's hard work for anyone. But now,
I think it's hard work for me and Eric. And Eric's been doing it for 30 years. And I'm literally a psychopath, or a sociopath. I don't care about other people's feelings. I'm wondering how a 16-year-old, 17-year-old lad sat behind a computer telling somebody else he's going to give him a 10-second penalty works.
Yeah, there is that. And I have had arguments with people in the past, but you've just got to get on with it and, I suppose, just don't really worry what people think. There's far more good things that have come out of it than bad things. And you do, there is a lot of people in RC that don't listen, as you probably know, from nationals and regionals, and you do get that side of it. But the majority of people are very helpful when you want them to be. It's hard for anyone. But it was worth it, I think.
So what sort of positive things did you get out of it?
When I took it over, I always wanted the club to go from... It was kind of a club that, like you said at the start, it is known for the Nitro track. And quite often, most of the racers that raced on the 10th track were locals or were locals that raced on the 8th track. So when there was often big meetings on elsewhere for Rallycross, you'd find that the numbers for the 10th club seemed to go down. And I kind of wanted to get the club to a club where a lot of people around the country knew what it was, knew where it was, knew a lot about it. And then got it onto, well, it was kind of always on a regional scene, but not many regional racers race at the club outside of regionals. Now we've got the likes of Ellis Stafford, Briefcase. I know there's a lot more, but I'm not going to name them all, but big racers, obviously Ellis is kind of as big as they get. And he races there on club races now. So the next step was obviously nationals, which I think you're going to go on to, but we wanted to get it onto the national scene and eventually be one of the biggest.
And you did get it on the national scene, and then you did do a load of work, even more work at the track. And then, I suppose let's get to the end bit then. And then for 2 years, you've not been able to have a national.
Can I just jump in on that one? On the whole Hearts having a national. Darren, why did you decide to hold a national at Hearts?
Well, why do you tell everyone? Well, no, I always wanted to get the club at a national standard. And I mean, if you ask Carl, and by the way, I think he should be on the podcast at some point in the future. I've always pushed him and said that I think we should push to get to a national, and he just said it's a lot of work. And then obviously Joey convinced me to apply for one. We managed to get, we had the junior vets agreed for last year, but obviously that couldn't happen. I'm sure that there will be one in the future. We've always had regionals. We support two regions, the Mid-South and East of England. I think the last East of England regional we had there was 120 entries. So that is kind of national size. So you could say we've run meetings as big as nationals, just not as as important. But it would be good to... I'd love to see Neil, Lee Martin... and Elliot Boots fighting it out in an A final going around Hearts. That would be
He never mentioned me and you. He never said, I'd love to go and see Mark Noah and Joey Cockle running around at Hearts on a national. Did he, Joe?
No.
Joey just does trucks. So
Whoa. No, I don't just do trucks. I don't have a truck anymore.
Oh yeah.
No, you don't.
Well, you've moved over to Schumacher, you've got to get the Storm.
Yeah, I'll get a Storm when my bank account says otherwise, or somebody buys me one for Christmas.
Or there's some sort of series that no one else is going to enter and he can just win by himself. You know, they're the kind of truck championships
we'll call it the Joey Cup.
The Joey Cup.
Hang on. Are we going back to Worksop again?
Yeah.
Right, okay, because there were plenty of people who started trucks at Worksop, but then all decided that they couldn't quite get anywhere near me and quit and sold their truck because they were that embarrassed that I was pulling their pants down week after week. So
I think these people need to be to be named and shamed. If they're quitting because you beat them.
Leon Morrell.
Right.
Lee Talbot.
Yeah, anyone good?
Nick Gunnell.
I thought he was quite good.
Yeah.
I think he
actually TQ'd one of the Worksop meetings ahead of me, but...
Right.
Bottled it in final.
Okay.
They're the only three people that quit and sold their stuff. Well, no, I don't think Nick sold his stuff. I think he just stopped bothering.
Aidan, I think you should go and find out if this is true. Then we can pull Joey's pants down if this is a big, big fat lie.
Well, I'm waiting for a message off Nick turning around going, no, I'm sorry, it was just Joey's poor personal hygiene.
Or ask Johnny Skidmore, because Johnny Skidmore actually ran one of yeah, Leon's truck in the A final because Leon didn't want to. And even Johnny turned around and said, that was a piece of trash.
So it wasn't because you beat them. It was just because it's a piece of trash.
No, Johnny, he couldn't drive that car either properly.
Yeah, but that he's the slowest of the Skidmores. Everybody know everybody likes Will more than Johnny. Those Will's are facts.
But anyway, facts. I could only beat what was put in front of me.
Yeah. No.
Fair point. Fair point. Well, we started incorporating a truck class into our series at Hearts. So get your truck down there one day.
It's good to see everyone. I know there's, you know, Neil, if Neil listens, Neil will probably be screaming at the thing going, trucks are completely shit. As he kept telling me whilst we were at workshop. But, you know, when I first started racing...
They're fun. It's a bit of enjoyment. Yeah,
when I first started racing, trucks were massive. I mean, at Stotfold, even like Mid-South Regionals had two heats of trucks. And it was like, you know, it's 20 trucks going around at a regional.
The Mid-South yeah, struggles to get two heats at all now.
This is when the Mid-South was good and not as it is now, in my eyes. Now. Completely not Mid-South at all.
Well, you said there's only two people in the region. Well, I'm going to cross them off. Two listeners we're not getting next week.
Well, no, it's Darren knows. Because when I...
Blame him.
It's not. I'm not blaming Darren. It's not Darren's fault that they made the decision.
Plenty of things to blame Darren for. This is not one of them. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's why I.
So what's that? I moved.
We'll have to talk about it later. But anyway, let's go back. So what you've said is Joey interrupted, but made a good point. Joey convinced you that you should hold a national, or you should put in for a national.
Yeah.
And you did.
I thought it was gonna. It was good enough. I know there was. I know Ian Edwards. He used to. I know people used to ask him about doing it as well, and he always said, "I don't think we're at that stage. The track's not big enough. We don't think it's good enough." Blah 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 blah. Well,
Ian, and I was always Ian couldn't have said that. He couldn't have said that because when Ian was running the club, we had probably one of the biggest 10th tracks in the UK. I've never doubted the quality of the track, and I've never obviously the site and the rallycross track has held the Euros B. So the facilities, everything we've got on site, we've obviously got the shop, the facilities, we've got undercover pitting, all of that. It's the 10th track was so for those that don't know Hearts very well, originally we had quite a big surface area for the 10th track, which was split into two, with half of it becoming the Bash track. And the reason for that was often when the weather was too wet and the 8th club didn't want to run on the dirt track, they'd run on the Astro track because it was quite a big size.
Yeah,
right, and okay.
It ended up having, we'd have oil and fuel over the track, and the surface just wasn't very good. And then all the piping would be destroyed because it was like brittle plastic piping, and you can imagine what a full meeting of 8th cars going around, it just become destroyed. So we wanted our own track, somewhere that something that we'd maintain ourselves, and we'd do all the work for it. And then we split the track in half, and it was too small. It wasn't that bad, but it was too small for probably a national. It was fine for regionals, like I said, we held regionals on there every year, but we've just gained some more space and it is a lot better. It is really good, added some more features, and we'll always look to get it as good as we can.
It does always look really smart, you know. I remember, I don't hate it when I have to say Joey was right. I remember Joey saying, I not on the podcast, but, you know, when we chat beforehand and afterwards and things like that, I think Hearts should have won. Hearts could easily do it. They've, you know, they've got a good, Everton seems to be there. And then at that point, I'd start looking at the track and go, yeah, it does look smart. And then the thing that really impressed me straight away was, as soon as you sort of, the box was ticked and Hearts was going to have the juniors and vets, More work started straight away. It wasn't like, oh, we've got this now. It was like, hey, we need to go and do more work. So, you know, you were sort of running the club at that point. Was that part of the deal? Was that what you were eager to get going?
I mean, I can't even think when we applied. And the past year has like just flown by. But we don't, yeah, we don't just do work for the meetings we've got on. We tend to do work all year round. We're always looking at improving things. Like there's a list of things that we want to do. So if you've seen, we've just had to put the, well, we didn't have to, because I know there's many clubs that won't, but we've put dividers in on the rostrum. Mm-hmm. Originally, because of the social distancing, we were down to 6 drivers, and we've put some, I mean, it now looks like the start of a horse race, our rostrum, but we can fit 10 people on the rostrum, and we have dividers in between with perspex windows in between, and that means that we can now race 10 people per race. And there is other things we want to do. We want to replace all of our piping. So we don't just do things and do work for, say, a national. We're always looking at being at the best standard we could be, whether we've got a national on or not, because obviously we care about our club races as well, and we want them to have the best track. And we're probably one of the only clubs that are open all year round for practice. So people, and you'll be surprised at the amount of people that do go Monday to Friday, whether it's daytime, evenings, retired people or people taking days off work to go and practice. And obviously the track needs to be at a suitable standard for them.
Right. Okay. And is that something that the tent sort of group control, or is that all run through the main part of Hearts? I have a thing like you sort of just go into the shop and pay and walk and go and do your thing. Is that the way it works?
That's exactly as it used to be. You used to turn up. Obviously, things are a bit more controlled now. You need to pre-book because of COVID. We have a limit of number of people. But yeah, it used to be you could turn up between the hours of the shop opening and pay to practice. You get given a wristband at the shop. You get the gate code and you go and have as long as you want. And, you know, there's a surprising amount of people to do that. You could turn up on a Saturday afternoon, obviously not now because of COVID, but you used to be able to turn up on a Saturday and there'd be 60 odd people there. It looked like a race meeting, just people practicing.
Wow.
And there's always been more people on the eighth track, but slowly and surely we are getting a lot more people turn up for the 10th. And it's good. It's what the club needs. So it's been a shame that we've obviously had to close for the past however many months. But we're back, and I can tell you there was a lot of people there today. Past 2 days I've been, there's probably been about 20 people each, which is not bad for a Wednesday and a Thursday.
No, that's some sort of amazing. You surprised me because I didn't realise sort of those places even existed in the UK. Like, I knew Hearts was, but I didn't think it would be... I know that's not busy, but you have to limit things due to COVID. But, you know, July, August time when all that stuff goes, I don't think there'll be... There's never 3 people at Southport during the week. And, you know, that's in a public park. You can just walk in and out.
I think it was always a big thing I noticed as well. When I first started racing at Stockfold, Stockfold to me seemed to be the only club that ran every Sunday all year. And then obviously every Wednesday from, is it end of April time?
End of April to September. Beginning of September. Yeah, other clubs generally the same.
Never seemed to do it that way. So,
yeah, I mean, the most ideal thing about Hearts is that we have undercover pitting. So we have electric, obviously you're undercover, you have electric, so just plug your charger into the wall. And then you have lighting, we have a compressor on site, which is turned on for race days. You have toilets, and, you know, even if a lot of clubs could get permission for people to go in during the week, a lot of clubs don't have facilities like that. So I think that's why so many people like practicing at Hearts, because you kind of turn up and you've got everything there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think I struggle on what day it is today. So you've already had a race meeting this week, haven't you?
Yeah. So we, like Stockwell, we normally start our midweek, which is a Tuesday for us. We normally start Tuesday night series, which runs from April to September. But last week when we were planning the opening and stuff, obviously looked at the weather and it's 23 degrees on Tuesday night. You can't not open Tuesday night on that weekend. It's perfect. First week back, people have been dying to race for the past 3 or 4 months. So yeah, we decided to run on Tuesday.
How did you get on? Because I noticed you raced.
Well, I had good pace.
These sound like excuses, run. Joe. These sound no. like excuses, Joe.
I get on to it. First round of qualifying, I got a second behind Will. Will obviously made it very clear that he shouldn't be beating us with a broken wrist. But yeah, he came back. He took the TQ for the first round. Kyle Jackson took the TQ for the second round. And I qualified fourth. And it was a close battle. I think Will would run away with the race. But it was a close battle for second with myself, Richard Miller and Kyle Jackson. My turnbuckle come off on the last lap. So I ended up finished last in the final. It doesn't matter because the big meeting's on Saturday. And I'll probably come last again in the final. But it was just nice to have, it was the first meeting we've had 10 cars on the track for the final. And it was weird. It was really weird. It was obviously dark because we're not that far into the year yet. So the lighting's still quite poor. But it was weird to have 10 cars on the track. It was certainly some obstacles. But yeah, no, it was a good meeting back.
I think obviously my mate is Miklos, who was there.
He was there.
He was saying in the final he just couldn't see the corners. It's too dark.
Yes, it is. And with every year we're improving our lighting, so we're getting more and more lights. But the one thing that I think we struggle with is so our piping is blue PVC piping, and we fill it with shingle. And obviously, when it gets dark, you've got dark green Astro with dark blue piping, and it just doesn't work. So again, that's something that we're looking at improving. We actually managed to get, thanks to Sam McGow, a load of fire hosing from London, and we're going to replace all of our piping with fire hosing and paint it white. I made it very clear they had to paint it white because it's obviously red as fire hose is, and the Astro's green, and I'm red and green colorblind. So I made sure that they were aware that it had to be painted. So we're going to hopefully do that and get that done before the next big meeting. But that will be gradually done over time because it obviously takes a lot of time. And as I said at the start, you don't tend to get many people turn up to help do these kind of things. Which in the future, it'd be good if that changed and a lot more people helped clubs, because I know it's not just Hearts. There is a lot of clubs that struggle.
It's a nationwide thing, though.
Yeah,
it's been a struggle that's been going on for as long as I can remember as well. So
yeah, and it will probably go on for a long time. But it would be good if things did change over time and more people spared some hours to help out.
Oh yeah, because it benefits them as well. So it's, you know,
yeah. And people always forget that they
always forget that, you know, the amount of effort that, you know, those same four or five people put in on a weekly basis to do the track, but they're also the first people to complain when something isn't to their standard.
Yeah, exactly. And people seem to forget that you also do it for free. You're not paid. I think they are in America, actually, if I'm right.
Yeah, but most of the tracks in America have shops, so it would be shop staff.
Yeah.
That.
But yeah, people seem to forget that we obviously do it for free. And I know that there is a committee for most clubs, but, you know, even if you're not in the committee, you can just turn up, spare an hour of your time to help the jobs, and it just makes everything so much easier. Because most of the time, the maintenance and stuff for tracks, they're not back-breaking jobs, but they're jobs that, you know, done by one person is tiring. And yeah, hopefully that changes at some point.
Yeah, I think there's, I always say to Southport lot, I think everyone should give me, if everyone in anyone's club gave me half a day a year, we would have the best RC tracks in the world. You know, that's the kind of amount. The yeah. fact that one of the things that you said was they only need to give me now, just because I'm going to Southport tomorrow, Friday morning. Just to paint, you know, our concrete apexes and things along those lines. And just as you said, that is not a difficult job, but it's just time consuming, you know, just to do But we explain to people, I'll tell you, I'll message you tomorrow. If you're not in work doing terrible things, just making sure that people know that they can just turn up for an hour. Even though I'm going to be there 9 till 2, they can just turn up for an hour. And then this other thing is important.
This is getting all your Southport listeners, you're giving them a hint, aren't you?
Well, they don't need hints. They're quite well briefed on the fact. I've said to people when they've said
get your answers down there.
Yeah, and we are incredibly lucky, you know, Southport, you know, because, and they say that we've got a small organising committee who are there to organise, not to do, to organise. And, you know, I'm quite open with people go, oh, that's a great suggestion, but I'm just going to ignore you. Because you're not going to do it. Don't come and tell me, you know, I don't want to sound crazy or weird. That does sound crazy or weird. That just sort of explaining to people, these are jobs that need to happen. Giving them a nice, easy list of jobs. And, you know, we've got young fellas who can shovel mud for days. And then just to explain, you can turn up. We'll give you a brush. You'll be sat on your arse painting an apex that's white. Painting it more white, and I think that sometimes helps. So I think we are quite lucky in Southport, but everyone should help their track more. If everyone gave half a day,
it's maybe something clubs could look at putting into like their membership. You know, you pay your membership for the year, but that also includes you doing one Saturday a month or whenever the track needs.
Then you'd get people not joining for membership. But anyway,
do you know who does that? Do you know who actually does that? You might not know the club. It's Ribble, but it's run by Crompton's mum, run by Janice.
Yeah.
And when they book in, and they were indoors, so they have inner schools, so they've not ran all of last year, I don't think, they make you sign a piece of paper that says, I am here to help. And if they sit there, and if you leave before the track's gone away, they'll just ask you and just go, where are you going? Oh, well, yeah. I've got to go. And if you've got to go because you've got a doctor's appointment or whatever, then you have a doctor's appointment at 9 o'clock at night, but I've got to go this week. Well, that's fine. But if you do that again next week, because they've got a list of people wanting to book in, they said, you can't come because you don't help. And they list their jobs out with, you know, these are the light jobs, these are the heavy jobs, these are the big lifting jobs.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, when things get to that point, it really shows that, you know, well, they shouldn't get to that point. You should just have people willing to help. But I think one thing I think we should do is have a disclaimer that everyone should sign at the start of a race meeting so that they don't complain so that they know they can't complain unless they turn up to help to set the track up.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure you'd, that'd sort the problem.
Yeah, I think if you have certain things, I think most clubs are fine, and I think it's a part. I always say it's not all the people not turning up for. So clubs have to take some responsibility of making sure they communicate that way out well. But there's a lot of work has happened to Hearts. I'm kind of upset that because when Mick Kloss told me that the reason he didn't do well because he couldn't see things, I just didn't believe him. I didn't know about the coloured. pipes. So I just then continued to give Miklos a lot of abuse.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a problem. It's never been a problem until it gets dark, and then it does get a problem. But
yeah, but I always remember Stotfold used to have a similar problem on their Wednesday nights. That it'd be certain sections would be like, oh, where's my car gone?
Yeah, like, I say it's the blue piping at Hearts. It probably doesn't make a difference when it's white. It'd probably still be the same. It obviously gets dark, and I think because we started a lot earlier than normal this year, it was actually dark before the first round. So whereas before most of our summer meetings, it tends to get dark just before the final. But it was good to be back. It was definitely needed, and it was good to see everyone.
So if you've sort of, I don't want to say taking a back step, but, you know, other people have come in to sort of do their main jobs at Hearts, and you're just there to help those people out. Has that made your racing any better?
Yeah, it has, definitely. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to step back. One of my biggest problems is I don't tend to go to many other tracks. So I think I'd done the national series year before for the first time. And every track on the national calendar, I had never been to before. To do well, you have to be dedicated. You have to go to all of these clubs and practice there. Neil Craig, you're not going to get him not turn up to a club for a year and then go there for a national, although he probably would still win it. That was my biggest issue. And I got to go to other tracks, done quite a bit of indoor racing when I could. And yeah, my results have definitely improved. And I was looking forward to the national series last year to see if, because it was kind of the first year I'd stepped away from it, to see if the results were going to improve. But obviously, we didn't get to that point, unfortunately. But there's always next year. I tend to, obviously, recently, because you're supposed to stay local, I've done a lot of racing at Hearts over the past year. And my results have definitely improved. I'm creeping closer to Briefcase's time, which is he's obviously a top racer. I'm not sure if he's made an A final at national, but he's definitely been in a few B finals. Yeah.
I think he has.
I don't think he has.
I know he's been in a lot of B finals, but I'm not sure. Definitely not with four-wheel drive, because we all know what his four-wheel drive is like at nationals.
Falls apart, doesn't it? Yeah, it falls apart.
All sorts of things fall off. But
the stuff that falls off is borrowed off someone else's table.
Yeah, he had. I think he told me the other day at Hearts. He made a joke saying that his tools were prototype tools, and they had some initials on. And I said, they're probably the initials of the person that he stole them off. But,
did that time-lapse video of him building that B6.2.
Yeah, I think when you couldn't even see the car.
Kevly commented saying, oh, I wondered where my pliers had gone.
Yeah.
And Will was just like, yeah, I've just been keeping them safe for you, no problem. I'm like, Will, come on.
I gave him a new set of tyres, front and rear, on Tuesday. Said he'd PayPal me. Any hazard of a guess if he has PayPal me?
Nope.
No way.
He's a good guy. Let's not make him sound too bad. Let's just say he's got short memory.
I gave him some wheels at, 2018. It might have been 2019 National Series. And he said, I'll get them sorted next week. He messaged me the other day for my address so we could sort them out. I was like, Will, it's just, honestly, just don't worry about it anymore, mate. It's 2-3 years out of the way now. Don't worry about it.
He's a good guy. I would say he's harmless.
Will's cracking.
I would say he's harmless, but he did take me out in the second round of qualifying on Tuesday. I just had to get that out there. So he's definitely not harmless. But he's a lovely guy. He's probably one of the nicest guys in racing.
Well, except for the fact he's now going to send Joey some, I don't know, serpent wheels because that's probably the car you were driving back then, Joe. Some like serpent wheels are going to come up and you're going to be like, what use are these?
They were yoke wheels.
Well, okay, yoke. Well, to be honest, if he's trying to get hold of yoke wheels in this country, God, he must have a special supply. Yeah. And then, you know, imagine not paying Darren, PayPal and Darren for the tyres that he lent him.
I'm just hoping that when he hears this podcast, he will. I'll see it pop up on my phone. Yeah.
Well, I can't think of anything worse than that, unless it's like somebody not joining the BRCA. Other than that, you know, if you've not paid your £17, because imagine if you hadn't paid your £17 and then you start
joined that for the BRCA in a while, Aidan, because it's actually £20. It's not £17 anymore.
Yeah, it's straight 20.
Is it? Really?
So have you done your BRCA this year? Yeah, I think it's been £20.
Well, that's what I paid the other
years.
Day.
I must have, because I've said this before, if you're on a committee in a club, you have to have your BRCA done, otherwise they won't affiliate your club. So mine was actually done in December, but I thought it was still 17 quid. You sure?
Yeah, I complain now. Positive.
Well, mate, I take your word for it, though. You know, I don't know how good your memory is. You know, it's been 3 months since you paid yours. So let's think. So is there any plans for Darren in the future?
How far into the future are we talking?
I don't know. You know, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, my job might be taking me places.
Up north?
Across the lake. There's a possibility that I might be moving to America next year. For 2.5 years. With work. So if I do come back, I'll probably be ripping up the Astro at Hearts anyway and create a dirt track. And I will definitely be taking my stuff over there if I do go.
Wow, Joey's going to come back racing stock, heating his lipos.
No chance.
You might. I think you would, mate. Stock is clearly the big thing in the States. Well, mate, that'd be a great opportunity for you to go and race over there. Hopefully, I suppose it must be difficult if the interview, if you just say, can you just tell me exactly where you're sending me so I can just see if there's an RC track nearby?
I have actually had a look.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I've had a look. I think it's quite close to OCRC, so that would be
terrible.
That would be exciting.
I mean, you can't get a better place to go, really, though, could you?
No. I've never been to America, and I've always said that I wanted to travel with my partner, so it would be good to it'd be a good opportunity for that alongside work. Although it'd be more of a jolly, to be honest.
I can't believe Martin Owen has not turned up for the episode when someone could stand. You could sit here and tell it talking about California for the next, you know, 15 minutes. Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing he's not here, then.
Maybe it's.
Maybe I should have some conversations with him before I go, then.
Yeah,
yeah, that it's a possibility at the moment. So I'm not getting my fingers too crossed because I've been let down by something like this before. But yeah, hopefully let's go ahead. And being only 22, it'd be a good opportunity.
Right. There was a mate of mine up in the northeast, Steve Cook. I was talking to him the other week, and he goes, I think work are going to send me to Arizona. He's going to go look after a team in Arizona for maybe 6 weeks at a time and then come back. And I said, do you know how near the track? And he went, Hobby Action is 10 minutes away from the office. And I'm like, wow.
So it's dedication or really looking.
That's all he really wants to know. And I'm like, yeah, Hobby Action sounds great. So he was really excited to think. So, mate, that's a good opportunity if that turns up. Make sure you get yourself a nice place over there. You know,
nice and big as well, so we could all visit.
All visit.
I won't be paying for it, so I sure will.
Why do you need a third bedroom?
I'll even have a truck there just for you, Joey, waiting for you.
Beautiful.
We can turn up and do Dare to Oval. It'll be amazing.
I'd rather not. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Fine. Right, Darren, we bothered you enough. You've been a great sport. It was great for you to come on and chat because, you know, Hearts, well, we've all learned something about Hearts, but the thing that sparked something for me earlier this week was when I realised that you were probably the first track to hold a meeting this year. Before we let you go, do you want to thank your friends, your sponsors, people who are nice to you?
So thanks to Schumacher and my paint man, Mitzi Paint. And, you know, I'm not that factory, so I've only got two sponsors.
Right. I'd like to thank you for helping me with my four-wheel drive at Bruntingthorpe.
Anytime.
Yeah. I asked you
what we're here for as a team.
Yeah, I didn't know which way round four-wheel drive fusions went on the front. I can't remember what the BRCA was. I can't remember which way they go. Darren, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much, mate. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much for having me on. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye now.
Cheers, dude.
Well, that was great speaking to Darren. I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, great idea, Joey. Great idea to get Hearts to apply for a national. Nice to know you're doing all those positive things.
Yeah. Okay. No, as I said to Darren, I used to frequently visit Hearts, and I always thought that the committee that they had there and the track and stuff were clearly, you know, capable of holding a Euros B meeting for 8-scale. So why not a 10-scale national?
Yeah, and I remember them getting a lot of positive feedback regarding that Euros B meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, it's brilliant. Of course, as we always like to do, we'd like to thank David Spashit. No, it's Spashit, not I think I called him Splashit.
You called him Splashit a lot last week.
Sorry. For coming on and talking about us. We'd just like to apologize to all our Scandinavian listeners. Didn't realize we had so many, because we didn't actually speak a lot about David's racing. We just chatted about sort of UK things. So I'm sure that's just but everyone enjoyed it. Loads of positive feedback. Obviously got us, you know, into the top 50 hobby podcasts, and that includes gardening.
Oh, yeah.
Gardening and chess and Warhammer and all of these things. So that's a really good thing. Shows you how popular we were there. So I'm sure us and any other podcasts who listen to this or listen to David Spashit would get him on and talk about, you know, his racing, but we'll definitely get him back on. So thanks very much, David, for all the time that we had. We did actually have a slightly longer chat with Darren, but we had to cut out all the abuse that he gave to Lewis and Callum. Some of it was just really just not repeatable on air.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a lot of people would have turned off in disgust.
In disgust, really, in some of the things, you know.
And that's not just in disgust of listening to me talk every week, but...
No, it just would have been not acceptable. You know, especially one of the most insulting things I think he said was, you know, how much a better Warzone player Lewis Jones is than Callum. But what also I've heard is in my ear, I've heard a little weep, so I think has somebody else joined?
Evening.
Sorry,
all I'm a bit late.
Martin!
Yes. Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry, life got in the way tonight.
That's all right, mate.
I thought I'd just pop in at the end and say hello to everyone.
That's all we're doing. And then I should have checked you wanted to join in for 10 minutes.
Literally, we ordered a takeaway and it took like 3 hours and we've only just kind of finished. So, yeah, just a write-off of a night.
Something really important then. Yeah, well done.
Food.
Okay, right. Well, okay, so we've done all our thanks. The only thing I want to talk before we talk maybe a bit about what our plans are for this weekend is that I love when we get messages from listeners. I love when we've got Greg and his brother in Michigan running Schumacher Cactus tires on their TLR cars on the Astro that they run in their track. He was asking me some questions about it. I said, we don't tend to run Cactus on Astro. But I think we then found out that the Astro is just sort of like green carpet. So it's really nice to hear. If you're running anything that's a bit different, or maybe something that you've heard that was talked about us on the podcast, send us a message. And of course, we'll if I write it down, we'll remember to talk about it. Okay. Well, guys, are we all excited?
Oh, yeah.
What classes are we running? I'm assuming we're running on Sunday. So what classes are we running this weekend? Let's just say that.
Two-wheel drive.
I'm running two-wheel drive. My laydown is as prepped as it's going to be. I did as much prep as I was going to do. Got bored and then put it back together again. So we're all super excited. I don't know. I think we've put gates open at 8 o'clock.
Right.
On Sunday morning for us at Southport.
Right, okay.
Not so early then.
Yeah, but I call him Crazy Richie. But Crazy Richie has already opened a book on how early Tommy is going to get to the field on.
The return of early Tommy.
The return of hashtag Tommy Time. So if anyone, you can't, it's too late now if you're listening to this, but if, you know, everyone else is now PayPaling Crazy Richie a pound and putting a time on for how early Tommy gets to racing on Sunday.
I'm going to have a quick guess.
If you all do that, your PayPal will suspend your account. Yeah. I'm not bitter. I'm not still fighting it. No, I'm not bitter. Don't worry.
I'm just gonna have a quick guess. I reckon 5:30. He'll be sat outside the gates with his coffee.
Yeah, he can open the gate, and then we can open the gate.
Oh, okay, okay. He'll be there at 5:30, sitting on the track, waiting with his coffee.
I think he hasn't got the tent. Sometimes the problem is if he gets there too early and he gets bored, and the weather's nice, he'll get the generator started. Straight away. Nice. So, you know, everyone else in Southport on Millionaires Row, where our track is.
Millionaires Row. Have you seen the people that... No. Okay. I don't agree with that.
That's all right, Joe. It's not a problem.
I've been to many nationals in Southport, and I know what those people are like.
Okay, but the people who live there, maybe not the people who walk through a park. But anyway... let's go to right move, put in PR8. I'll find the track and let's see if we can find some house prices around there. Is that it, boys? Are we just so super excited? Have we got anything else to chat about?
Is Joey racing this weekend?
Maybe. I cannot deny or agree.
Excellent. You'll have to let me
know. Sorry, deny or confirm.
Excellent. You'll have to let me know how it goes if you go racing. Yeah, just don't turn up at my track because I don't want to see you.
Well, you've made your views apparently clear this afternoon to Rebecca.
I did, yes. She agreed with me.
Yeah.
Don't turn up to Southport. I was going to say we're full, but we're not. We're not full because we had to stop the Welsh from coming.
Hang on. I don't understand this, right? Because Wales opened up to things like hairdressers and whatnot. And obviously a lot of English people were crossing the border and getting their hair cut on the sly.
Okay.
No? Because...
You say Bob might be, but yeah, go on.
There's a few people that shouldn't have been doing what they were doing. Let's just put it that way. But then they can't leave the country to do toy cars.
No, they can't. No.
Wow. Then again, it could be worse. You could be Scottish.
Yeah, so they
can't
they
go
they
anywhere can, at all.
Yeah, so the Welsh can race, you know, they can do that, but then they're not allowed to leave the country. And again, for our foreign listeners, you know, the Welsh border is only like 45 minutes away from Southport. I think their issue is, because it's Easter Sunday, that if you were a Welsh policeman, you would clearly spend that Sunday parked on the big road going into Wales.
Yeah.
Checking everyone's license plate, wouldn't you know that's what clearly will be happening. So I think it's the 12th before they can travel out of Wales to do that. So we have got a couple of spaces, as we've had to stop a few of our Welsh people coming. So that's another week. Jamie Banks is not going to beat me. It's always a good day. And that's probably it, boys. We've been a bit low on news. Nationals and all seem to be sorted. That's all done. We're just waiting on a decision regarding regionals. We'll sort all that out. We can go back. We'll be, obviously, clearly, guys, if you do go racing in the UK, it's hashtag masks all the time. Use your hand sanitizer. Wash your hands. Watch your social distancing. Don't be idiots. It would be a damn shame for somebody to get suspended by the BRCA for not following rules when we're allowed to now come out and race. And so please just think about those things. Is that okay, guys? Have you got anything else to talk about?
That's it for me.
I'm all good.
Yeah, Martin's feeling sleepy because of the size of the Chinese he's eating.
Indian curry.
Indian?
Mm.
Okay. Good job. I'm not sharing a car with you for 4 hours.
Exactly.
Okay, boys. Did Joey thank his sponsors last week?
Yes.
Therefore, Martin should thank his sponsors this week.
Not a problem, even though I've just popped on for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank all the guys at Schumacher, Muzz and Trish and Co. John at RC Octane, Rich at RDT, Brian at Screws for RC. I think that's it for me.
Perfect. Guys, please like and share the podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. And saying that, we've actually probably found that liking and sharing is not actually that important. What's more important is commenting on the podcast if you like it. That seems to have helped us last week. So if you do like what Darren has talked about, Hearts, if you want us to get Spash it back on to talk about his actual racing rather than his views on nationals, please let us do. If you want to know what Martin Owen had for dinner and which Indian restaurant that was from, again, that's probably something I can answer. So please do that. That's brilliant. I really enjoyed the No Name RC podcast interview with Brian Nunes, which was probably the other week. It shows a guy who's, got his breaks, works in the hobby, seems to have his dream job working for Horizon Hobby and TLR. One of the things he did mention there was how small RC racing is compared to scale. Scale crawling is 3 times bigger than all types of RC racing. That's the gap that we've got to try and move from. That's not scaling is bigger than 10th. That's scaling is bigger than all RC racing.
So it's because it's so accessible. Because, yeah. When we first went into lockdown in the UK, and obviously we were allowed out for our exercise, there's a local woods in our area. It's literally about five minutes. And there was so many people with their kids just running rock crawlers and things around the woods. And I'm just like, I want to get one now. Because you don't have to go to a dedicated place to do it. And they're not expensive either.
It's also another clash you could win when nobody else does it. Martin, you'll need to listen to that joke.
Wow.
Book two. Guys, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you all next week. Let's see if we can get someone. Let's see who the worst person we can get next week. Let's try that.
Ryan. You're already here.
That's true.
Bye now, people. Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.